Later in my grandparents' lives, they bought a small RV, a house with wheels underneath it. It was a significant upgrade from the old pop-up trailer they used to have, which went turned into this large tent on wheels that they used going cross-country, even for family vacations with five children. So they were excited to have this RV, which would sit in their driveway whenever they were home. And whenever we traveled down to South Georgia, going beneath the Nat line, and you always knew when you crossed the Nat line because the air was filled with thousands of black dots, we got to sleep in the RV right there in their driveway. It felt like a grand adventure because houses with wheels remind us that four walls are never meant to keep us in one place. And in Judaism, this is a very long tradition of wisdom, where even the house of God was never meant to house God. That the temple in Jerusalem did not have wheels underneath it, but it was never meant to keep God in one place. And the people of God had to remember this later on when they were taken from Jerusalem into exile in Babylon. That they had to think back to the tabernacle. That house that did have wheels because it traveled with the people wherever they went throughout the wilderness, giving them a place to worship after they had fled slavery in Egypt. And now when they were in exile again, this time in Babylon, they had to remember that God was with them. And it was there that they built the very first synagogues, places to worship wherever you were. That we find God in unexpected places. Becca Stevens is an Episcopal priest. She started the ministry Magdalene, serving women recovering from trafficking and incarceration. Stevens remembers the very first time she ever visited a jail. She went to see an old friend from high school who had been convicted of using drugs. And when she arrived to the jail, she was checking in, going back to see her old friend. She discovered that the officer checking her in was also an old friend from high school, someone she had not seen for years. She had no idea he was working at the jail, and he was surprised to find out she had become a priest. So on this day, they had this very strange high school reunion. This priest, this prisoner, this guard. They met just about 4 miles from their alma mater. And Stevens says that as they met there in that small room, she felt the presence of God. She says, "Going to jail that day taught me that the lines separating us are infinitely small, that we are bound to one another by God's grace, which means we can find sanctuary in unexpected places, as Stevens writes in a poem, before the sun rose or an altar was hewn, before the crocus bloomed or winter passed, before the birds sang or the seas parted, before a word was spoken or an apple bitten, before the wine was blessed or a cross lifted, before the path was chosen or a prayer offered, there was sanctuary. That at the very beginning of creation, before there was anything else, there was sanctuary, because there was the presence of God. And perhaps everything since then has been about rebuilding sanctuary by the grace of God. Perhaps the most hard-fought reunion in all of history is between Joseph and his brothers, the ones who sold him into slavery, that out of resentment and jealousy, they sold their brother out, sending him into unknown tragedy. In Egypt, though, Joseph found a different future where he was in a position to save the family that had condemned him. That there had been a famine in Canaan, and all of Joseph's family had left there and traveled to Egypt seeking refuge as refugees. And when Joseph was confronted with his family and his past anger, he realized that the tie that binds runs much deeper than he ever anticipated, that he broke down into tears, needing more than just revenge. And he embraced his family, and he gave them the land of Goshen as sanctuary. That Goshen was this beacon of hospitality. It was a place of God's hope and welcome. And perhaps in this world today that is straining for relief under the concerns and pressures of a pandemic, we are all longing for Goshen. In a very different famine in Canaan, in the Gospel of Matthew, the woman from Canaan came to see Jesus looking for crumbs from the table of God. That she was suffering and searching for mercy because her child was suffering. And she comes to Jesus looking for help. But then in a moment that shocks us, Jesus hesitates. That we pause because Jesus paused. That we expect Jesus to quickly reach out a helping hand. But instead, he says, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. We must remember, though, that the stories of Scripture speak not only to that moment between Jesus and the woman from Canaan, but also to the moment when they were written down for the people who would be listening to them for the first time. That the Gospel of Matthew is speaking to a community dealing with tension between Jew and Gentile. And when we hear Gentile, we should think of the woman from Canaan. So perhaps Jesus' hesitation is the same as the people's hesitation, hearing this story for the first time. That when she says to Jesus, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table," she is speaking as much to the people hearing this story for the first time as she is to Jesus. And then when Jesus says, "Great is your faith," maybe Jesus is giving the people the words they need to say to widen the circle of God's table in their lives for Jew and Gentile alike. That the woman from Cana was looking for sanctuary. She was longing for Goshen, and like Jacob, wrestling with God all throughout the night until he was blessed, she would not let go until she found it. That she demonstrates for us the backbone of faith. Rick Bragg, that well-known author and writer, grew up in the hardships of poverty and in a small town of Alabama that he was certain that nobody in this world could ever find on a map. That in his life, he discovered how a place shapes who we are, that he spent a lifetime wrestling with his past and his place in this world. One of his first memories is of his mother, who was his sanctuary. She would spend her days picking cotton in the heat of the midday sun. She wore clothing with holes in it. And she went without dinner so that her children could eat. And in his senior year of high school, she sacrificed even more, scraping together just enough to buy him a high school graduation ring. So he spent his entire career scraping together just enough to buy her a house, which she had never owned. In his book, All Over But the Shouting, which tells his story, the line that grabbed me and would not let go is where he writes, "I hope that she sees some of her backbone in me. That she taught him the grit of grace. That we find strength in unexpected places where we hope to have the same backbone as the woman from Cana did." During this season of life, I continue to read through the names of the church directory, from Alford to Zugazaga, praying for our congregation. Sometimes I will come into this sanctuary to read through those names. And it reminds me because God has met us in this place. We know that God will meet us in all of our places. Wherever we are, because the lines between us are infinitely small, that we discover the presence of God even in the land of Goshen. Amen.